Hey, Smart Forward Podcast. Today's topic. His wishes. God. It's like I'm a professional. Yeah. A wish is a hope or desire for something. Fictionally, wishes can be used as plot devices and folklore opportunities for making a wish or wishes to come true or be granted or themes or whatever. Wish I had a better intro. See what I did there? Of course, I'm joined... by Eric Andrews.
Great to be here. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
What's that?
It's like you just said it.
I just said what?
Just my name. Nothing else.
Yeah. I don't know what you're referring to. Like, you're saying, what do I normally do?
You normally go, welcome everyone. The pile of poo you step on when you're walking behind a dog walker, Eric Andrews.
Right. That doesn't sound like me at all.
What?
That doesn't sound like anything I would do at all. That sounds like a 5-year-old.
Okay.
I would not act in that manner.
Cool. This is going to be a good one.
Hello, Eric.
Hello?
Can you see that Mark is frozen?
Yes.
Your wish came true. I granted it. You wished for it every night for so many years. You're welcome.
Who are you?
John Lennon.
Anyway, welcome to the podcast, wishes.
You don't feel...
No, I just feel like I was out of it for a second there. What are some of your wishes, Eric? Do you have wishes? Do you have hopes? What is your top 3 wishes?
To be rich and well-respected.
Okay.
What's another one? To be loved by everyone.
Okay.
And just to be treated well on the podcast.
Those are your 3 wishes.
Yeah, I like them.
Oh, that's great. The third one seems easy. I mean, I've been treating you well, as best I can, and if I haven't, I'm where the comment box is. Outside the Leshmark Ford Studios.
Yeah.
To be loved by everyone. Tougher.
Yes.
Because most pathetic pieces of human garbage are not loved.
What?
Come on out from behind the curtain. It's professional impressionist Jim Bufford. He was doing John Lennon earlier, and... That's not hilarious. And your face was so happy. John, thanks so much. Oh, no problem. I'll see you guys later. Yeah, take care, John.
Why would you go through so much just to play a joke on me? How do you even know that was one of my wishes beforehand?
I don't know where this... episode's going. So. There was a lot of problems with that whole thing.
Okay.
John, was his name John Bufford?
Jim.
Jim. One of the best impressionists doing the worst John Lennon ever because he didn't even have an accent. And why was John Lennon granting you wishes?
I thought his accent was pretty good.
He had no accent.
I thought it was dead on. Dead on Lennon.
Well, when I said John Lennon, you gave me a look like, what? Anyway, here's some things people normally wish for. Good health. Money, which you wished for. The fundamentals of life. Love, which you wished for. To change ourselves, which you didn't, which was weird. I thought that would have been up there.
Why?
I'm sorry?
Why?
And fame, which you wished for.
No.
You said fame and riches.
No, I didn't.
What'd you say?
Rich and respect it. Oh. A little bit of R&R.
Sex, people wish for.
Really?
Peace, freedom, and happiness. Now, let's pretend I was a... Should we start over?
What do you mean?
Should we start the podcast over?
I don't know if you're asking me for real or
not. I'm asking you as a fellow podcaster. Should we start the podcast over?
We've
never done this before. Should we start it over?
What would happen?
Well, let's see what happens. Let's just see what happens if we start over.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Mark Forward Podcast. I am Mark Forward. Today's topic is wishes. We all have wishes, hopes, and dreams. My wish and hope and dream is that one day I'm not hosting this podcast with that bag of fucking human garbage across from me. Eric Andrews, ladies and gentlemen.
Good to be here.
Do you have any wishes, Eric?
Yeah.
What are some of your wishes?
Oh, I want to be rich. I want to be respected. The two R and R's. I want to be treated well on the podcast.
That's not fair. I just told you those.
Here's some odd dying wishes. People that made wishes on their in their will or on their deathbed.
Okay.
William Shakespeare, he died in 1616. Great year. That was the year I think the Tigers won the pennant that year.
They were still playing.
His last wish, that his wife receive his second best bed.
No.
Mm-hmm. And especially in those times, you got to think, like, do you even own a bed?
That
wasn't
good.
Flea-ridden and disease-ridden. He didn't want her to have that one.
I don't understand. Like, it doesn't say there on your sheet.
On my sheet? I don't have a sheet.
On what you're writing on.
I have all my facts on an abacus, which is weird.
It doesn't say on that, though, who got the best bed?
No.
Because that seems interesting. If you were the guy reading the will.
Yeah.
And it was like, and his second best bed goes to his loving wife.
And his first best bed goes to Jim down at Quills Incorporated.
And Jim's in the back going, yes.
Finally.
We got another one.
Finally, it's a home run for Jim. Harry Houdini died in 1926. A great year. I think that was the year the Tigers won the pennant.
You've done some great things.
His last wish was that his wife hold an annual seance so he could reveal himself to her. Houdini in his later life became very interested in spiritualism and seances. After a number of years trying to communicate with her through spiritualists, he gave up, deciding the whole thing was bunkum. What? Oh, he was trying to talk to his mother. In order to prove it, Houdini left his wife a secret note with 10 randomly selected words he would communicate to her after his death. For 10 years, his wife held the seance on Halloween. Guess what?
What?
Houdini never showed up. You know what that proves, though? That when you die and go to heaven, they don't put you in straitjackets. Because he would...
escape.
He would get... get out. I think this podcast needs a horn now.
No.
Speaking of that, I did a little radio show. I won't say who. Okay. But they were going off on how they're not like morning radio.
Yeah.
And then they had no idea who I was. And talked all about themselves. So they were exactly like morning radio.
Hit that horn.
Napoleon Bonaparte died 1821. That was an amazing year. I think that was the year that the Tigers won the pennant.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, Bo, what's up?
What is a pennant?
A pennant?
Yeah.
That's when you finish first in your division, you win a pennant, which you used on one episode kept telling me were flags.
Oh, yeah. Kind of a lame prize.
His last wish that his head be shaved and the hair divided up amongst his friends.
I would not like that.
You would not like to give your hair away? Nobody, number one, nobody would want yours. It would be a curse, a pox on their house to receive a bushel of your red hair.
Strawberry blonde. But I wouldn't, I would be so angry if I got hair in the mail.
Why was it mailed?
I gotta go pick it up. That would make me even more angry then.
I don't know if there was post back then.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know.
You know, some things we don't know, some things we don't.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if I'd be insulted or...
Like, what do you do with it? Burn it, and then it stinks up your house?
I don't know. Put it in a hair vase.
A hair vase?
Yeah.
It doesn't... I don't know.
I don't know. Burn it in potpourri.
Does your... My mom still has some of my hair from when I was a baby.
Dude, not even surprised when you said that. Not one part of me went, yep, nope. There's parts of you all over the place. There was teeth on your windowsill. Your mom has hair. She's probably got sweat of yours as a baby in a bottle. You haven't said no. John Bowman died 1891. His last wish, for dinner to be prepared every night after his death in case he comes back to life.
Oh, wow.
Bowman's wife and two daughters had died before him, and he became convinced that when he died, his entire family would be reincarnated together. Driven by his odd belief, he set up a trust worth $50,000 to pay servants to keep up the housework in his 21-room mansion. He also requested that a daily meal be prepared in case the family returned hungry. The will was honored until the trust ran out of funds in 1950. 1891 to 1950.
Yeah.
A dinner was made every night for no one in a 21-room house.
You gotta admit, though, they must have been eating it.
Yeah, they're probably eating it. But also, do you think maybe they were like, look, make a lot of macaroni and cheese. We'll just give them macaroni and cheese. Every night for this week. Like, they weren't... Do you think they were making...
I think it was a nice meal. And then they're like, we hit the friggin' lottery on this one. This guy set up a fund to have us eat. And we get to live here still. We're servants.
But at what point do you think they went... Like, is there a ghost clock? Like, did they put the meal down and go... Set the glow clock. Okay, the glow clock is up. Now we can eat the meal.
Yeah.
Like, what point do you go, okay, they're not showing up?
50 minutes.
But it's probably cold by then.
Yep.
The other thing, too, is that's over 40 years. They were just making sandwiches by the end. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I bet the first year, They're making all the shit.
Turkey.
Corn.
Legs, corn. Yeah.
Lighting candles.
Edamame.
Yeah. And then they're just throwing down a fucking sandwich. One sandwich.
Yeah.
Cut into four pieces.
In a dark room.
It would suck if he showed up the year after the trust. Yeah. There's a whole other family sitting down to eat.
Yeah. Ooh.
Where's my sandwich? What the? Mark Grunwald was best known for his work with Marvel Comics and serving as executive editor of Captain America and Iron Man. After a fatal heart attack in 1996, in his will, he was cremated and he wanted his ashes to be mixed with ink that could be used to print comic books. And they were.
Wow.
Yeah, his ashes are in comic books.
Which one?
Archie.
Ooh, tough break.
Yeah. And only the Jughead editions. So there's his ashes in comic books. Kiss's blood was in comic books.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, they did this whole... They had a comic book back when their height was... their fame was at its height. Their height was at its height, was what I was going to say. Because that's good podcasting. Their height was at its height.
Yeah. They're as high as they could get.
No, their height was at its height is pretty much anyone. It's the present.
Yeah.
Right?
It was their time.
No. What I was trying to say was their time. Their height was at its peak. But I said their height was at its height.
Yeah, they're...
Forget it.
I don't understand.
But anyway, they went up on the big thing and there was a big production and the news was there and parents were outraged and they dropped some of their blood into the ink. And then this fucking comic was sold. People were just livid. Now we can grind up some guy and just stick him in the ink and nobody gives a shit.
There's a lot of ash requests, though.
Ash requests. What you doing with the body? Ash requests.
But it's real. Like, I work on a boat, and we just had a party. I wouldn't call it a party. Where a group of people came on and they dumped ashes for 5 hours out on Lake Ontario. And on our boat sheet, it said, must play solemn music.
5 hours worth of ash?
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand. Was it one funeral or was it...
It was one.
Well, how many times did they dump ash?
Lots. Like, they would do it, then they would cry, and then they would sing. They would come and say, one cerveza, please. And you'd give it.
So you're saying they were Mexican?
No.
Spanish?
No, they were drinking Mexican beers.
Why were they saying cerveza?
Because that's what it says on the bottle.
So why were they being all international if they weren't?
I don't know. People find it fun.
Yeah, but when I'm dumping the human remains of my loved one in a lake, I'm not all of a sudden going, un cerveza, por favor. Like, I don't understand why all of a sudden they're being Spanish.
I don't know. Like, haven't you ever had the thing where you're at a funeral and it becomes the funniest thing ever?
No.
Like, just something little is so funny.
Yes, I remember my friend's dad passed away And he was going around the room saying thank you to everyone for coming. And he went, thank you for coming, thank you for coming. And then he shook the funeral director's hand and said, thank you for coming. And he said, oh, I'm the funeral director. And he said, oh, then you should be thanking me for coming. And I laughed pretty hard.
Yeah.
But yes, when you're at a funeral,
things just become funnier.
The break zone is pretty easy. Like, yeah. Someone said tiny sandwiches, and I started laughing at one funeral.
I just had an amazing idea.
What's that, bud?
Stand-up comedy at a funeral. That'd be such an easy audience.
I think it would be a terrible idea. But we'll get back to the cerveza, por favor. But I've talked about this on Twitter and maybe on this podcast, but I will play Bonnie Tyler's I Need a Hero. I want that played at my funeral. Because, and I don't want anyone talking, I don't want anyone turning it off, because I think that would be so funny. If you don't know the song,
it's I Need a Hero.
Okay, so
right.
Imagine they go, right? They go. So you know, my mom's been up there, and I don't know why my mom's outlived me, but anyway, she's up there, and he was a great son, and I loved him, and I miss him, and we're gonna love you, buddy. And it's open casket too, unless my face gets really badly mashed up. But also, that would be kind of funny, too. Right? So my face is mashed up a bit.
Yeah.
Open casket. My mom's bawling her eyes out. Right? She sits down. The funeral director comes back up and says, and now, per request of Mark Forward, he wanted this song played at the service. Thank you. We'll have a moment of silence while his song plays. Right? And then... and you're just sitting there.
Yeah.
And my smashed up face is just...
People are crying.
People are crying.
But some people are tapping their feet.
Some people are starting to tap their feet. But they're all still facing forward towards my dead body. And here's the thing. Now, some people at this point might go, did he think he was some sort of hero? That's not at all it. Because this song goes on for 5.5 minutes. You've just watched my mother bawl her eyes out. Oh, man.
That's so funny.
5.5 minutes of just sitting there listening to that song. No one can get up. No one can leave.
Yeah.
Oh, by the end, you'd have to be laughing. And that would be the beautiful thing I was going for.
Yeah.
Every
comedian's dream, that last laugh.
Wow, you got deep.
It's true.
You got deep.
Still making them laugh, even when you're not here.
We're still on this list.
Oh, wow.
And by the way, we're still talking about why on the boat at this funeral, 5 hours they're dumping ash in the water. Now, number two, like, I drink from that water.
Well, they filter it.
Yeah, but still, a little bit of humans getting in me.
Oh, for sure.
And I don't want these fake Spanish people's heritage getting inside me.
Well, I wouldn't take that sip, sir.
Un cerveza, por favor. Cuba Libre, sir.
I don't. What, oh, book.
I think that's a rum and coke. Fred Bauer had a wish. We're still on this. was the creative mind behind the Pringles potato chip can and received a patent for his design. So when he passed away in 2008, his will directed his family to bury part of him in a Pringles can. And so they did. They filled up a can with ashes, buried the can with the rest of his remains.
Where'd the other part go?
I don't know. It says it buried his ashes in the Pringles can with the rest of his remains. So maybe they only melted. Melted. maybe they only cremated his head.
You know,
he's like, cremate my head and put it in the Pringles can.
I saw it the other way around. I saw them cremating from the shoulders and down.
Yeah.
And then they, I don't know why I see this, they kept the head and shoulders for a mantelpiece.
Oh, like a bust.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, it goes against the facts of what I read, because the Pringles can was buried with the rest of the remains, but...
Oh, right.
Yeah, so... But I get what you said. Here's my question. What kind of can? Like, was it regular...
Right.
Sour cream? Like, did he have a preference?
That's a good point.
Thank you. Pringles are good, though, eh?
Yeah. I wish I had some Pringles right now.
T.M. Zink died 1930. His last wish, he wanted a womanless library to be created.
Wow.
He left $50,000 in trust for 75 years, at the end of which time he hoped the fund would have swelled to $3 million, enough to found the Zink Womanless Library. The words "no woman admitted" were to mark each entrance. No books, works of art, or decorations by women were to be permitted in or about the premises. And he was quoted as saying, "My intense hatred of women," he explained in his will, "is not of recent origin or development, nor based upon any personal differences I ever had with them, but is the result of my experiences with women, observations of them, and study of all literatures and philosophical works."
Whew. A lot of people have $50,000 lying around after they're dead.
At this time, yeah. Well, that's a horrible man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I've learned more and more and more just from Twitter and social media and all that stuff? It's women got it pretty shitty.
They did have it pretty bad.
No, they still have it pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Like, I read a headline the other day, and it said, mother of three running for office.
Right. It would never say that.
It would never say that for a guy.
It would just be like, man running for office.
Yeah, it would just be his name. Anyway. It's weird. The
it is
more
different.
And more. Yeah. So that's terrible that TM Zink wanted to do that. But here's the other side. Jack Benny, American comedian.
Yeah.
In his will, after his passing in 1974, his will directed that a single long stem rose was to be delivered to his wife every single day for the rest of her life.
Wow.
So there's two different guys.
Two sides to the coin.
There's two sides to the coin, bud. Every coin has two sides.
Heads.
And Benny. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. I thought we were doing good.
I thought we started out rough and then we got on a bit of a roll.
Have we ever just tried saying go away?
But why? Like, this
I don't
is
know.
So
I like
rude.
Him. I like him.
You say every time you have an affection for him.
It's your huffing and puffing that gets me all
just
going, you know?
I just and never I, know who it's going to be on the other side of the door.
Well, your curiosity
oh,
might...
Oh, here we go. I've opened. Oh, hello, officer. Hello, gentlemen. Do you, either of you gentlemen, know
a gentleman named Brett.
Is it bad?
Yeah.
Are you looking for him, or is he gone?
Well, he was on his way to the studio. He was really worked up about tearaway pants. And, unfortunately, he didn't look before he crossed the street. He was struck by 4 garbage trucks at once.
4?
They tossed him around like a pinball. And all he kept yelling was, "Tearaway pants!" He's in critical condition at St. Michael's Joseph Paul Memorial Hospital, Sick Kids for Children, Women's. He might not make it through the night. Anyway, he told me about you guys before he slipped into a coma.
No.
Anyway, I just thought you'd like to know.
Why are you getting upset?
I am an emotional police officer.
But why are you telling...
Because here, let me...
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much, officer.
Thank you, Officer Johnson.
My name's Brown.
Wow.
Now I feel bad.
I feel so bad that I didn't want to answer the door.
I wonder what he had to say about tearaways.
Well, everyone, this is a really solemn moment, and we here at the Mark Ford Podcast, of course, want to send out our best to Brett from Brett's Beats. It's just too, it's a lot to take in, and we're doing it on the air live, and it's...
I think there's a song that we need to play for him.
I'm sorry?
I don't know. I just think it's a good moment.
No.
Not the one I was thinking.
Oh, that was his theme music. Brett, we're thinking of you. We love you here at the Mark Ford Podcast, even though we've never spoken.
Yep. Tearaway pants, fanny packs, walking behind people with dogs. Not enough room on the sidewalk. too many dogs on a leash.
These are all things we'll remember you by, bud. Well, he's not dead. We shouldn't.
Good point.
You know? Sorry, everyone. If I sound like I've been thrown for a loop, I have. Anyway.
Whew.
Just shake it off and be professionals and... Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Turn to Twitter.
It's time. Whew. Sounds like a fast one, too.
It's a fast one again because our great listeners have sent in way too many questions and we love them for it. So, @NonJoeCreighton asks... Oh, by the way, I should tell you what Turn to Twitter is if you've never listened to before... And those of you who had are like, "Mark, get over it! You have no new listeners!" To our new listeners, we ask questions on... Oh, we don't ask questions on Twitter! You ask questions on Twitter to Eric. He answers them, has no prior knowledge, and whatever he says is fact, and I can't argue it. Here we go. @NotJoeCreighton asks, "Is it poor form to ask for more wishes?"
No. No, it's not. I think it's totally fine because, oh, I think it's totally fine if, as long as your heart's in the right place.
What if the, okay. Matt Weep asks, "What's more effective, wishing well wishes or making a wish when blowing out the candles on a birthday cake?"
I really believe well wishes.
Why?
Wait, is he talking about a well?
Yeah.
Oh, birthday cake.
Oh, wow. You thought he meant making well wishes to people?
Yeah.
As in wishing them well?
Yeah.
And yet you still chose birthday cake. Making wishes on a birthday cake are way better than wishing someone well.
No, I thought I was wishing well.
Yeah,
at first.
And I agree.
Wait, are we saying...
Okay, forget it.
Not a physical thing that you throw the coin into the well and it goes...
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what he's saying. How anyone would have taken that question.
Right, I didn't think
that. He didn't go, what's more effective, wishing people well or blowing out candles on a birthday cake? Well, of course wishing someone well is way more effective.
Okay.
Kyle Radke, the Kyle Radke on Twitter. He has a podcast as well. You can check him out at kyleradke.com. Who would you rather receive wishes from, a traditional Middle Eastern genie or a fairy godmother type?
Oh, fairy godmother type for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why?
Maybe it's that motherly instinct that they have.
You're sexually attracted.
No.
Let me ask you this question with my own spin on it. Who would you rather have sex with, a traditional Middle Eastern genie or a fairy godmother type? He's thinking about it. Well, I don't know what he's thinking about.
Because no
Sometimes Eric sighs and takes pause and I go, what could he possibly be mulling over?
Because no one said the Middle Eastern type was a man or a woman. I just pictured off the top.
Great point.
But if it was a woman, I'm picturing a pretty sexy woman.
Yeah. She's wearing her pajama pants, no top.
Yeah.
Those curved up boots.
So I would pick that one.
Yeah. It was a man.
Oh.
Sorry. Not that there's anything wrong with you having sex with a man genie.
Man genie sounds funny.
Do you know what I mean? For no reason, it sounds funny.
Well, it's kind of like...
Someone should name their kid Man Genie.
No, it's kind of like vagina.
How?
I don't know.
You have no idea. So you're saying, oh, I think I know where you're going.
Man
vagina is the vagina for women, yeah. And the man genie is the penis. Wow, I think we just made a new term. Oh, man, we're going to get tweets about that. Everybody talking about their man genie. Simon Pelta asks, if you had one wish, would you wish for this question to be better?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, Simon Pelta, your joke got on the air. At Captain Stabbin 82, he's been on every episode lately. Would Eric wish never to smell the aroma of Arby's meat again?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think I've smelled much of it, but I wouldn't want to.
Whatever. Every time your mother came home and caressed your face while you slept on your futon in her room.
That's not too far off. When I first went to college, okay, I wasn't there. But when I first went to college, the first week I was away, my mom told me that she slept in my bed every night and cried herself to sleep.
Why are you sharing that? That's not even close.
Oh, I thought the caress.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. And Dale,
it was really nice.
Dale, that's really... Anyway, and the last one is All Hail E. Andrews, which, of course, is your Twitter account that you've set it up that's fake. Is it a coincidence that wish and witch sound the same?
Oh, good question.
That's a terrible question.
What?
Is it a coincidence that wish and witch sound the same?
Yeah, because they both can grant you and like cast spells and stuff.
Witches don't grant wishes, do they?
No, they don't grant, but they can cast a spell that would do the same as any wish.
Anyway, there you go.
I thought that was a good question.
I don't know who set up that account. I'm pretty damn sure it's you.
It wasn't me.
All right. Anyway, this brings us to probably the part of the podcast where everyone turns off. The continuing story of Family Manimal. We did an episode about television. We are so committed to this. We did a television about... television about... Oh, this podcast is at the height of its height. We did a television episode and we talked about Family Manimal. The show Manimal was a guy who turned into animals and fought crime. We thought Family Manimal, he has a regular family, and but when he's an animal, he also has a other family, and neither family knows about each other. Eric took the time to write a script. This is the third excerpt from Family Manimal, written by Eric Andrews, funded by the Mark Forward Podcast Studios. End of Act 1, Mark had run out of his home because he felt there was trouble at the zoo. And Kathy?
Cheryl.
Cheryl had said, there's always trouble at the zoo. Here we go. Exterior, outside the zoo gates, night. Mark is situated in the bushes behind the zoo gates. He can see two high-class exotic animal thieves putting a bunch of animals into crates. He can't make out their faces, though. He can't make out their faces, but he can make out their two high-class exotic animal thieves.
He just put it together.
Mark, if they take all these animals from the zoo, all the kids who come to the zoo tomorrow will have no animals to look at. I've got to do something. Mark's skin starts to bubble. He's in excruciating pain, and all of his clothes rip off. He turns himself into a Black Panther. He uses the night sky and darkness to sneak by the thieves and get over to the panther cage. Mark, to the panther. Hey, I'm Mark. Don't worry. I'm going to get you out of here. Just stay close to me. Dorothy, the panther says.
I'm Dorothy. I'm really afraid.
Don't be. I'll get us out of here. I've got pretty killer instincts. The thief notices the two panthers being really close, and he just hears them roaring at each other. Thief number one.
Oh, right. Hey, Dan, check out these panthers. I think they're talking to each other. What about these panthers? Are they on the list?
Thief two, checking the list.
Yeah. Says here one female panther.
But there's two panthers in here.
Thief one takes a look under the hood of Mark as a panther.
And this one's a male panther.
Takes a look under the hood? Yeah. Meaning looks at his balls?
Yeah.
Why is the stage direction... Huh? Okay. Okay, so Thief One takes a look under the hood of Mark as a panther.
And this one's a male panther. Just kill the male one. I think they're family, though. You can't split up family.
Oh, shit.
Bring both of them. We'll kill the male one later. Maybe make a stew.
Oh, yeah, panther stew.
Good thinking. I'm hungry. Good thinking. I'm hungry. My eyes are as big as my stomach.
Oh, shit. The thieves use a knife to scare the panthers into the crate together. Mark tries to gather as much information on these guys as he can. Huh? Mark, I need you to look away for a second.
Why?
There's no time for questions. His hands begin to bubble up. He's in a lot of pain, and just his hands become human. He then pulls out a notepad and writes down, two white males, thieves, knife, could be those bullies. refer to earlier pages. Okay, wait. What? Mark, the character writes down refer to earlier pages of this script?
No. No, in his notebook.
Oh, okay. Has he mentioned his notebook before?
No, he does that in his private time.
Okay. The truck begins to drive away.
We're moving.
Mark, peeking out of an opening in the box. Looks like we're getting on the Highway 401.
You're brave and smart, just like the humans are.
That was Dorothy, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
You sounded like Thief One.
Oh, okay. How do I make Dorothy...
You're brave and smart.
No, she was sounded like a woman.
Oh, you're brave and smart, there. Just like the humans are.
You have no idea. Mark chuckles to himself, which is a common occurrence in this script.
You make a lot of inside jokes.
Yeah, to myself. Okay, Dorothy.
It's strange. I've never seen anyone like you around the cage before.
I'm new. I'm from a different part of the world.
What's a world?
Mark, a bit panicked. A different zoo.
A different world.
The truck hits a huge bump.
Oh boy, I'm so scared.
We're all scared. But it's about what you do in the moments when you're scared that matters. There's a long pause. Then Mark and Dorothy start kissing passionately, but still in a very respectful way. The truck comes to a sudden halt. The crate is taken out of the back of the truck and thrown into a warehouse. Mark peeks out of the hole in the crate. He sees a rhinoceros on the other side of the room. Mark, of course. Look away, Dorothy. I've got a plan. Dorothy looks away. Mark's mouth starts to bubble and he grows a giant rhinoceros horn and lips. He uses the horn to smash the crate open. He quickly turns back into a panther. Mark, we're free. Come on, quick, Dorothy. Mark and Dorothy run out of the warehouse and run on the 401 highway all the way back to the zoo. Wow. A lot happened in that excerpt, eh?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? When he turned partially into a rhinoceros, did he still have human hands? Because it said nothing about his hands going back to normal.
I guess he did.
My third question. They were making out as panthers?
Yeah.
So Dorothy chose to show her affection in a human way that panthers don't.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, I've never seen I've never seen panthers kissing.
Well,
in fact, nowhere in the animal world do I see a lot of it. I'm sure it's out there.
They lick each other.
They do, but that's not what it said. It said they started kissing and making out.
Yeah, we'll just picture...
In a respectful way.
Picture two humans making out, but they're panthers. Same thing.
It's really not.
But in this world, it is.
Well, there you go, guys. There's the podcast. We're on page 11. We have a lot more pages to go, so a lot more listeners to lose.
I think people might like it. If you want a copy of the full script once we're done reading and putting it exclusive out,
you'll
here,
send out copies to people that ask for it?
I'll send out a copy.
There you go. That's a Mark Forward podcast exclusive. If you're enjoying Family Manimal, is that what it's called?
Family Manimal. The Rainforest Conundrum.
The Rainforest Conundrum. Then Eric will send you a copy once we finish reading it. Of course, we can't send it before because it would give spoilers.
Yep.
But we will be giving that out. And he'll free of cost. He'll mail it to people's homes.
Or I'll tweet it.
No, you'll mail the script to their homes.
Okay, I'll mail it to your home.
Okay. Eric, I don't think...
What?
Yeah, I know you're worried about cost. I don't think a lot of people are going to be rude.
I think a lot of people are going to want to have a copy.
Anyway, that's the Mark Forward Podcast. I'm Mark underscore forward on Twitter. That's Merrick Mandrews on Twitter. And we're the Mark Forward Podcast, or Mark Forward Podcast at Gmail. I'm Mark Forward Pod at gmail.com if you'd like to write us a letter. Thanks a lot for listening.